Under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair of the Breach broadcast, Restore the Past to Dwell In. You know, the biggest problem in the church world today is non-belief. You know, the Bible talks about the children of Israel. Many wasn't able to enter in to the promised land because of non-belief. They just simply don't believe the word of God. Yet they all say they believe it, but they don't believe it. I give you an example. You know, let me give you an example. You know, in the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. You hear the word of Yahweh when you believe. Here's something easy. Proverbs 30:33. Now, I believe everybody surely can believe this. This is in Scriptures. Proverbs 30:33. It says, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. Now, every country boy knows that. I don't know about city slickers. They might not know where butter comes from. But it comes from churning milk. You keep churning, and the butter start rising. And we used to churn butter when we was young and help my mother churn butter. And this is where you get your butter. It's where they got their butter from way back in the Bible days. So it says here, surely, this word of Yahweh now, do you believe it? Surely, the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. I guess there's one you easily can prove. If you don't know about the churning of milk brings forth butter, reach up there and grab that old long nose of yours and wring it. And if you wring it, just like the Bible's talking about here, to bring forth blood. Now, the Bible says prove all things. If you can prove churning the milk brings forth butter, the ring of the nose brings forth blood. Therefore, the word of Yahweh is right here, right? That's easy. Everybody can believe that. Goes on and says, so the portion of wrath bringeth forth strife. Now, that's true too. The portion of wrath bringeth forth strife. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Try it. It works. Somebody can bump into you and they could say, why don't you watch where you're going? Well, you could say, you need to watch where you're going. Grievous words, you know. That'll stir up their anger even more. But you could say, yeah, I should be more careful. I'm sorry. What can they say then? A soft answer turneth away wrath, and they mellow down, right? Same way as the word of Yahweh is right in every instant that it says. Now, these are easy, simple things. Churn milk, get butter, bring your nose, get blood, forging of wrath, get strife. It's all in there. But then you get over here, some things that more goes against the flesh, the people that's raised up, things they've done all their life, and you tell them that this is scripturally wrong, then you start, people start balking on you. They start drawing back. I'll give you an example. You know, scripture clearly teaches don't eat swine's flesh. Swine is a hog. Pork. even says he's going to destroy those that are eating it when he comes back in Isaiah 66, verse 16, 17, or 15, 16, 17, right in there. He said, "That's thus saith Yahweh. He's going to destroy those eating swine's flesh when he comes back," right? He said, "Well, Brother Arnold, was a sheet let down to Peter." Well, we believe that too. It was a vision. So Peter kill and eat, and it was all manner of four-footed beast on. He said, "Not so, Master. I've never eaten nothing common and unclean." And, of course, Yahweh went on and showed him. He said, "Well, he's clean, is called not common and unclean." And Peter wondered what the vision meant. And if we read on down, it said Yahweh showed him what the vision meant. Didn't mean eat them unclean animals that he said he'd never eaten. Meant nothing to call no man common and unclean. Well, the scripture don't contradict. You can harmonize the scripture. So, my thought I would like to convey to people is, the word of Yahweh is right, but it's people's non-belief in it. Now, it's hard to not believe that the churning of milk bring forth blood and the ring of, butter and the ring of milk bring forth blood. That's hard not to believe. But then when you get over and he starts talking about his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, and you've been taught they've been done away with, it seemed hard for you to believe, and you'd rather believe your preacher. Or they'll try to pit one scripture against another. This is dangerous territory. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, let me make mention that I got some brothers that may be wanting to debate a subject of the oneness and how they see it versus, you know, I guess the debate would be, is the Son God? You know, some people believe what we used to call Jesus, that Jesus is God, and some believe that he's the Son of God, but he's not God at all. The Father is God, and the Son is the Son of God. But, you know, all the Trinitarians and people, a lot of the oneness, believe that the Son is God. Trinitarians believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But anyhow, Brother Matthew, my pastor, Brother Matthew Jansen, will be taking the side. And then there's some other brothers, if they come forth, will take the other side, and we'll let them present both sides, and you be the judge. They'll use scripture, and we'll see who can harmonize the most scripture and what the scripture really teaches, and does it contradict. That ought to be very interesting, but I'll tell you more about it as it materializes, if it materializes. But anyhow, back to believing the word of Yahweh. You know, the Bible talks about the silver trumpets. Let me read this something more. I think it's Numbers 10. It talks about to make silver trumpets. Now, I believe this scripture. I've done it. I had two pure silver trumpets made for this purpose. Numbers 10:10. Well, let's start. Let's start at Numbers 1. I mean, Numbers 10 and 1. And see if you believe this. "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou may be used for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeys of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow with one trumpet, then the princes which are the head of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee." That's if they blow one trumpet, see. "When you blow an alarm, then the camp that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that lie on the south side shall take their journeys. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Don't believe that. I do. That's why I got two silver trumpets. You know, this place in James, I think, it says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, I'm going to show you I'm a believer. Our congregation has silver trumpets. We don't eat swine's flesh. We don't kill, steal, commit adultery. Anyhow, let's go on. Verse 9. And if you shall go to war in the land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh, your mighty one, or Elohim, it said, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Think about that. That sounds good. And it works. I'll tell you about that in a minute. I've tried it. Works. Verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over your sacrifice, over your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before Yahweh. I am, or Elohim, I am Yahweh, your mighty one. Excuse me, let me say something right here. If you go to war in the land, the enemy oppress you. I'm in a septic tank business. A lot of times I'll put in a septic tank or something, and the people, like this one preacher one time, wanted one for his garage out there, and he didn't want food with the county, you know, buying a permit for to put permission. A permit is permission to put a bathroom in his garage, so he didn't have to come in and out of the house when he's out the garage. He just go to the bathroom or whatever out there and not track in down the house. And the county somehow, seeing where we was digging and found out about it, wanted to know if he paid for the permit. Well, naturally he didn't. But anyhow, I run into these cases, and one time I had one in Gwinnett County here in Georgia, and didn't have a permit. And they wanted to take me to court. Well, they wanted me to pay a fine. Wasn't much, but I didn't feel like I owed a fine. I feel like I hadn't done anything wrong. And I hadn't, you know, sinned, done nothing. The customer's happy, and I'm happy. But anyhow, we went to court, and I demanded a jury trial. I want to let the people hear you. I'll send them up to the counselor safety, right? Well, I blowed the silver trumpets, because I felt like I was being oppressed in the land, and he thought like he would hear and remember and help, you know? Well, we went to court, and sure enough, they were trying to oppress me, and the judge was trying to do it from the bench. And, you know, you got a right to face your accusers and question this, that, and that. But anyhow, he disrupted and interrupted. He just done everything he could to get me on through there and get out of there, and I'm making all this short as I can. I'm gonna get to the meat of the thing. How that I believe Yahweh honored what He said in His Word, because I believed it. But anyhow, bottom line is, when the judge wouldn't let me question the witnesses in the county that was accusing me, and I didn't buy a permit, and this, that, and the other. Of course, I said it's a homeowner's responsibility anyhow. But anyhow, bottom line was they found me guilty because of what the judge was doing. And I thought, well, my, you know, I blew the trumpets. I'd done everything what he said, and he said he delivered me. So I appealed his decision. And guess what? This judge, I won my appeal. Even after the jury had found me guilty, they reversed it. And I won the case. And they say very few lawyers get a case reversed once a jury has found them guilty. It's hard to do because they figure, well, the jury's found them guilty. They're guilty. Now, Here's the story. This judge was on the news a short time later. Not only did they reverse the thing, a short time later, they threw the judge off the bench. These news men that go around checking corruption and government found out he'd rush people through there and go to the bars and this and that and the other. And I had filed some motions in my case, and motion to dismiss, and because, you know, I filed for a speedy trial, and they've got 2 terms of court to try you, they're supposed to throw it out. But in these motions, I filed 3 or 4 or 5 maybe, but one of my motions was a motion for a fair trial, which is really a fundamental right. And when we got to court, the judge was going to pick the jury, and I said, Your Honor, I got some outstanding motions. We may not even need a jury. And he said, motions denied. I said, all of them? He said, yeah, all of them. He just railroaded me on through, you know. Well, he didn't know or didn't care. I don't guess he even looked at them, you know, because in there was a motion for a fair trial. In other words, you file a motion for a fair trial and get it denied? Why are you going to deny somebody a motion for a fair trial? See, he didn't read my motions. And he didn't care. He just thought I was some old dummy going to come up there and didn't want to pay his fine or something. He was going to run on through that. What he should have done is says, yeah, Mr. Bowen, we're going to give you a fair trial before we hang you. He should say, yeah, we're going, your motion for a fair trial is granted. But anyhow, that set the tone for the trial that proceeded right there. So, you know, I told you how he railroaded me all the way through there. So they went ahead and found me guilty because they seen the judge wanting me guilty so bad and wanting to get on out of there. Well, anyhow, I beat it on appeal. Make a long story short, I credited it to the trumpets, the silver trumpets. Y'all was seen as being oppressed. And he heard, and he helped. The word of Yahweh is right. People, their non-belief is what gets them in trouble. And that's why they can't enter into the land. They don't believe what the scripture says when it says things like, keep my commandments. All his commandments are sure. Psalms 111 says, all his commandments are sure, and they stand fast forever and ever. And are done in truth and upright. You know, I guess I should open up these phone lines. This is live on WWRB. Phone number here, if anybody wants a question, comment, we'll keep talking. I ain't have nothing special to talk about. Just try to encourage you to believe Yahweh's word. Of course, I guess that is special. The phone number is 770-483-8542. 770-483-8542. But Yahweh's word is right, and, you know, one day we'll inherit the kingdom, and when you inherit something, it ain't something you work for. Now, you will keep his laws because we're seeds of Abraham, and Abraham kept Yahweh's laws, and we're of that same seed, we're law keepers, and one day we will inherit the kingdom. We don't keep the law to be saved. We keep the law because we are saved. We don't keep the Sabbath to be saved. We're saved, keep the Sabbath. It's just, you can't work your way to the kingdom. You inherit it. I believe in predestination. I don't know about the listeners here, but the Bible's full of predestination. Now, people teach again and all they want, but the Bible's full of it. I believe that we're predestined. I told somebody today that it's by his grace. Received by his grace are you saved through faith, not of your own. It's a gift of God. I believe God, before the foundation of the world, ordained some to eternal life. And it's by his grace, and I believe we're programmed by grace to keep this law. I believe we of that certain seed. And some people are not. Bible talks about brute beasts fitted for destruction to be taken and destroyed. Now, we don't know who is and who ain't. But Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of Yahweh. He can take out the same lump of clay and make a vessel of honor and one of dishonor, one to be saved and one to be lost. Now, you say, well, that's unrighteous. He said, but nail, amen, who are you to reply against Yahweh? Can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? If he wants to make one vessel of honor and one of dishonor, that's his doings. And there's not unrighteousness with Yahweh. He's just making his mercy known on the vessels of honor. He couldn't do it if he didn't have vessels of dishonor that I know of. You can't have a Moses without a Pharaoh. You can't have a light without darkness, or a day without night, good without evil. You wouldn't know what was good if you didn't have evil. Everything was good. It'd just be everything good. You wouldn't have no distinguishing if you didn't have evil. But the Bible said he even made the devil for the day of evil. In other words, he created all things. I may not fully understand his whole purpose and everything, and you may not either. But one day it says we're going to know, even as we are known. And we're known pretty good. Back to what I was talking about. Believe in Yahweh's word. Non-belief. The sin of non-belief. You know, they heard the word, but it wasn't being mixed with faith. Their non-belief, just like that serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. He said, look on it and live. But their non-belief, they didn't believe enough, could turn their head, look at the serpent and live. And the scripture says that if I be lifted up, I be draw all men unto me. I draw all men unto me. And yet people don't believe that. They won't look to our Savior, the Son of Yahweh, that died, shed his blood, and them, you know, them thorns, and that them stripes, and all of that was for us. We'll go ahead and take this call here. Go ahead, you on?
Why, yes, I'm glad to hear you talk about the command. The command?
Uh-huh.
That's a totally lost teaching in the modern evangelical church. And so I got my material out real quick. From the Dake Center, Dake Reference Bible says there's 1,050 commands in the New Testament. And I got a list of commands here from Bible 101, and it lists about 15 of them where Jesus said, like, he that hath my commands and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me.
Yes, right.
And all we're taught today is take a little profession of faith, get baptized, come to church, pay your money, and you're going to heaven. And the question is, to challenge these people is, where in the world does it say anywhere in the New Testament a profession of faith, where that term is not even in the Scriptures, a profession of faith?
That's good.
And I just get frustrated with how far Christianity has drifted from the original, even from 100 years ago.
That's right. Where are you calling from?
We're calling here in Alabama, near Montgomery.
Alabama. Yeah, well, that's good. It's a good thing.
And your number is the Atlanta number?
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Well, I'm about 30 miles east of Atlanta, in Conyers, Georgia. Hey, I appreciate you calling. You keep listening in. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir. You know, that's right. That brother's telling like it is. Preachers, they don't preach. They don't preach keeping his commandments. He said, my commandments are not grievous. You know, the law is holy, righteous, and just. Now, why would they want to do away with something that's holy, righteous, and just? Keep the commandments and live. And they're teaching people that you don't have to obey his commandments. You know, they even tried to do away with the Ten Commandments. You know, they're not suggestions. They're orders, commandments. Commandments is an order. And they're not the Ten Suggestions. It's the Ten Commandments. And when people say that you don't have to do it, see, the book of James teaches that's what sin is transgression of the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And he said it's better if they had a millstone tied around their neck than to offend or cause these little ones to sin. Go ahead, Brother Roger. We've got about three more minutes.
Okay. I would just want to say that, of course, even the demons believe, and, you know, they've got a lot of faith in the power of Yahweh. They're scared to death of it, but he allows them to go on. But I was looking through the book of Zephaniah today, and I just wanted to mention three things from it. It says here that the priests, in chapter 3, verse 4, says the priests have polluted the sanctuary, and they've done violence to the law. That's one thing a prophecy. In verse 9, it says, I will restore to the people, I believe you brought this up a week or so ago, a pure language that they may all call on the name of Yahweh. So we got the law and the name there. And verse 18 said, I will gather those in sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you, to whom is reproach is a burden. And right there, it's laid it all out as far as future reference to doing away with the law, the name, and the appointed times. And these people elevate themselves to the point where they determine that days, feasts, and traditions are holy when Yahweh never intended them to be.
Well, you know, the Scripture tells us what's holy, and we decide whether to be holy or not. And the Scripture teaches what sin is, and then we decide we're sin or not. And sin is transgressing law, just like that brother just called in. You know, preachers ain't teaching that. And you said the devil, see, the devil believes in one God and trembles, it says. But he don't have no works, but works are righteous. The Bible said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the law is righteous, holy and just. Appreciate it, Brother Roger. You take care, buddy. That was my brother, Roger Owsley, from Dayton, Ohio. Anybody up that way, they'd be glad to have fellowship. Well, let me give a website. Those of you that have internet, you can go on the website and look at some of our beliefs that's explained from Scripture. It's lunarsabbath.info. That's lunarsabbath.info, like I-N-F-O, information. And you can download some articles. It gives you a link over to Brother Matthew, his website, or you can call me as soon as this broadcast is over for free literature on the true weekly Sabbaths, which are determined by the phases of the moon. For many years, we kept Friday evening and Saturday evening, which is the better choice, Saturday versus Sunday. But that only works if that was the calendar that they were using, which we found out that it was if they were using the calendar in Genesis 1:14, which says, let them, referring to the two great lights, greater light to rule the day, lesser light to rule the night, let them be for days and years, signs and seasons. But the number, as soon as the broadcast is over, which is just right now, error code 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. We're on Friday nights at 10:30 instead of 9:30. Tuesday night, 9:30. Friday nights, 10:30. We appreciate all of you listening in. Join us then. And till then, may Yahweh bless you, and let not your heart be troubled. Shalom.